excited to welcome my co-host, Frank Fiore, frankfiore.com. Frank, how are you? And we're ready to talk staffing and how to build businesses, because the biggest lifeblood of the business is your employees or your subcontractors. It's not the individual, the solopreneur. And I'm going to just hit Richard right off the bat by that, Frank. And it's so true, because once you get from solopreneur to scaling, it becomes a nightmare, Richard, if you're not taught this. You don't have the right people when you're staffing and building the right team. Some people make mistakes. They go overseas. They don't understand. You might have to, your margins might get less to get better quality work and get better clients. All those things you have to kind of put together when you're trying to bring the right staff in, right?
100%, man. I think the biggest thing is branding and marketing. You got to get in the community, my man. And that's the number one thing I tell everybody when you start a staffing firm or you're trying to grow people, is just not putting ads out there. You got to tap into your community. You guys know that real well.
So talk about what, so you mean marketing to potential staff members. So you're looking at marketing in a different way, it sounds like, than I look at marketing. Am I correct? Based on what your expertise is in.
My marketing is for the candidates and the clients. So basically,
so this is still totally different. I want to know. Yeah. So tell me, is that a problem that companies make, that they can't attract people to come work?
100%, man, because they use their logo of, like, say a Nike. Nike's a brand. People follow the brand. Chick-fil-A brand. Netflix is a brand. So when you're a staffing firm, we're different. We build the brand ourselves, the human connection. If I'm getting you a job or hiring somebody like that, they want to talk to the shark. They don't want to talk to just my logo. You know, that doesn't do anything. So there's where that human connection, that branding and building that rapport comes from.
Because they're not going to go work for you because they're not going to know, like, and trust you. It's the same thing as business. People aren't going to buy your product if they don't know, like, and trust you. A lot of people make a mistake when they market. If they've not built the know, like, and trust, you can't ask them for a sale. And the same thing is probably hiring, it sounds like.
100%, man. It's all about relationship building. You know, I'll be honest with you. I did 38 companies last year. I closed in 18 months and only one was in person. Everything's over the phone. And it's like a beer chat, coffee chat. I jack with people and laugh about it, man. We get to know each other. Like, we're having a talk right now. That's how you build your client base. It's not about bringing a briefcase in and trying to sell them something.
No. And when you build your client base 100%, that power of podcasting, radio, television, it makes life much easier. All right, Frank, what questions do you have for Richard?
Okay, staffing. What's your unique selling position? Why should somebody go to your company for staffing, except for your great logo there? Why? What is your unique selling position? Why are you so different than all the other staffing companies?
I think it's myself. And you guys will laugh at this, but usually I wear jeans, a t-shirt, shark necklace, and a flip-flop. So I bring that beach vibe. So when you build a brand, it's different than everybody else. You know, I'm like the Kenny Chesney of our industry, and it's taken off in the last 4 years across the whole country. And even in South Africa now, people's reaching out to me. It's building that culture. They can trust you. You know, I'm always there. They got my cell phone number. I think that's the number one thing, is look in their eyes and say, dude, we're doing this together. It's not just, you know, I'm finding you a job. We're a team. I'm the coach. You're the player. And we win together. And when you do that, they just flock to you. It's almost like I always say, Kenny Chesney concert. You just want people to show up like a tailgate. And when that happens, the rest is history. And I tell everybody across the region, build your brand, build your name. Nobody gives two shits about Richard Rosner. But when they say shark or Staffy Shark, that's all they remember. And they put it in their phone.
And then I just, as I branded myself Media Giant, it changed a lot. And I had people who gave me advice. I said, instead of Media Giant, I'm the giant of all media. Like, you know how Howard Stern was the king of all media. I said, I am the giant of all media. Then someone said, you're the media giant. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. This sounds phenomenal. Game on. Let's go. And that was it. It was that simple, you know, and it's crazy how these things work and develop, because you're like, are you serious? And you're like, did this really happen? And that's it. But let's talk about when people hire you, what happens? Explain the process of why people should, you've already told me the branding and helping, but once people kind of talk to you, what do you do? with your staffing?
If I go into a business straight up off the bat, it's me going in and listening. I'm not going to give you advice and be this, like how I say, actually, this asshole comes in and says, this is what you need to do. We're going to work as a team. I want to listen and see how I can solve your solution, your problems. That's what you brought me in for. And then, you know, we analyze everything, the community. You know, I want to know what the work culture is like and stuff like that, because at the end of the day, you know, a good leader is somebody that gets their hands dirty. And then when you start from the ground level, move up, the double digit growth will come. It's so easy. That human connection of sharing and caring is what it's all about. I think sometimes we overthink, and we say, we got to do this, this, and this. I always joke, and I posted something last week on LinkedIn. It's like, you know, I chase happiness, not the dollar, and the money comes on the back end.
Okay. Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I know very little about staffing, but you said that you get international clients. You mentioned South Africa. You mentioned a couple of other places. How do you get that information? How do you find staffing people or people at all in those foreign countries to meet their needs? And I'd like to get a little bit of explanation to that.
What I do is actually, I source out for that. So basically I'll find somebody local in that area. They'll reach out to me and they'll say, do you know anybody in this area? We'll team up together on that stuff. Take a little sidetrack. I used to be, I still do it, international keynote speaker. So I've spoken at 36 different conferences in the last 3 years. So my name's kind of spread out there. So they just want me to, even if it's another country, I will directly find them. I'll put some of the bait out there. I call it shark bait to get some people interested. And then I'll send them to some local person that actually can interview them. And you know, I can trust.
So once they hire you, what do you do? Like, let's say if it's a US-based staff with Staffing Shark, what's your first step? No.
Yeah. First thing is, you know, business or the clients, or the candidates, because candidates, I can get them, you know, all the time. You know, it's going to just restaurants and stuff like that in the community. It's the coasters and all that organic stuff. But when they hire me, it's about me building growth and building that culture, making it different. If you come into my offices in West Virginia and I regroup, you know, there's no cubicles. You don't walk into an office. You come in, loud music, Pitbull, Kenny Chesney music. You have, a pinball machine in there. You have Miss Pac-Man. So they're coming into this environment that with music that they're, you know, they're stressed out because they don't have a job. Why do we go to Walmart and they play music and stuff? I always tell people, they don't play that 80s music for us just to sing it. It's to make us more happy so we buy more. So when you bring that into the staffing and recruiting in an office, they feel real relaxed. They come to my office, I have a lava lamp, a shark lava lamp. So I go all in the game. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm about, you know, bringing that right off. As soon as they walk in the door, the handshake comes out. What can I do for you? And I open it up. You know, we're working together one-on-one. You know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You tell me what you want, and then I'll go to work for you.
And that's it. Because once you do that, once you make yourself different, you differentiate yourself from your competition. You give them that sense of ease. They're going to trust you, and then you're going to staff the right people for the companies. The bottom line.
100%. It's all law of attraction. We know that, right? At the end of the day, on both candidates and clients and humans. We all want to be around somebody. You guys will love this story real quick, and I can go on a tangent. Like, did you ever park far away, at Walmart or Target, and there's a car right beside you when you come out? And you're like, dude, there's all these empty spots. Why are they right beside me? It's the same thing in business. Is that crazy? Everybody wants to be beside somebody. Seriously, it's that law of attraction. Again, when you think of that, next time you park far away and come out, more likely somebody's going to be parked right beside you. And why is that?
I do it just because I don't want anyone near my car. Why are they still attracting to me? I don't want that.
See? Because they don't want to park by themselves.
Now that's ridiculous. But I don't know. So this is like in the, you know, the good old squirrel hole tunnels slowing down, or the other tunnels in Pittsburgh. Why do Pittsburgh people slow down in the tunnels? That's the weirdest thing.
It is. You know what? And I have friends from New York City. When they come in and we go to Pittsburgh, like, what is up with this? And even if it's a car wreck or something like that, we slow down. It's on the other lane, but we slow down to nose or what? They're like, Pittsburgh drivers always slow down. You don't
exactly. That's when you kind of go miss Texas, Dallas, Texas. All right. Go ahead, Frank, another question.
No, really. I was really wondering about how do you do something in the overseas. What's the difference between staffing and people come to you? Not a headhunter, but I guess you're a headhunter. What's the difference between that and saying you're representing a particular individual as opposed to representing the company? Do you get any of those requests?
I do all the time. So here's what my game is. It's kind of funny. Like, you could be a headhunter, a recruiter. I call myself a job agent, America's job agent. So I'm like your Jerry Maguire. Here we go with these slogans. Show me the money, show me the job. You say that kind of things, they remember that. In their phone, it says job agent. So now they have an agent for free because the candidates never pay me. The clients do. There we go again. They're like, dude, the shark's my job agent. And then guess what? Tells all his friends, cousins, aunts, uncles before you know. So that's where I get all my candidate base at and all my leverage across the country. And I try to teach everybody else to be different like this. You don't have to be high energy and high level like this 24/7. But if you give something back and these little tag names, you guys know, like, get off this, we'll say shark or job agent. That'll stick in your head, right?
Recruiter, I won't forget you. But who's not going to forget somebody who's making a comeback at 51 in the pro wrestling just as a and doing a documentary 6'10"? So Kurt was after me. So I got trained in Ohio in 1993 because we're talking in the green room about Kurt Angle. And he got trained a little bit at PWX, which is in Pittsburgh, which I had a little run in PWX after I was trained, but I ended up working over Lawler's. The Rock wore my knee pads down south. I'm sure he read some of the bio, but I'm going to recreate the comeback story. I don't know how I'm doing it, but it's just another thing to change it. So, you know, Gary V, Alex Hormozi, they're not going and jumping in the ring. They're not challenging people. That's how I'm trying to make myself different, is we constantly see that we have to think out of the box as entrepreneurs, constantly make change because everything is becoming so evolving. That's the bottom line at the end of the day.
Got it. So Neil, are you 51? You said,
yeah,
I'm same age, brother, but okay. So I'm not 51. I'm 5.1. Ever since when I turned 50, I was 5.0, like a Mustang. Every year I'm getting stronger and stronger with my engine.
Well, no, I think I'm just in my peak at 51, especially as entrepreneurs. Most of them don't make money. They're in 60s. I mean, Frank wasn't like that. Frank, you didn't make your big killing at 60, right? How old were you then when you did?
When I did what?
When you were successful in business and made your money and then retired.
I was successful when I was a kid, but
I love it.
I've had businesses throughout my whole life. I'm an entrepreneur. You retire? I never retired. I went from entrepreneur to author.
Author, that's what I'm saying. You went to author and writing after you had a really successful selling your business and going on. So what age were you when that happened?
I wrote a lot of nonfiction books. No, probably back in the 1980s, 1990s is when I really started writing my nonfiction books and had the...
When did you stop doing business? Like... your companies and stuff.
1980 or so. But then, then I got involved with the .com and I was recruiting.
That's what I'm trying to talk about. When you start. Yeah, so yeah, just not writing. Okay, Frank, we'll ask that question there, Tom. Back to just saying that most people don't make it till after their 50s, Richard, meaning like blow up, you know, and you see it because we learn from our mistakes. We learn from the process and then we figure it out. The ones that do figure it out, everybody attracts to them. Just how it is. It's the way it works. Man.
We're like more patient now. Do you agree? I mean, seriously, in 30s and 40s, we're just trying to run and chase. Now in your 50s, you're like a quarterback, like Tom Brady or something like that. And you're just tossing.
No, you have to be just literally just, you know, it's going to happen. That's the difference.
Yep.
And when you're in your 30s and 40s, you're waiting for business to come, but you're hunting in the wrong places. In your 50s, you figure it out. It's very simple. It becomes easier. You work a ton, but you still enjoy what you do. But as an entrepreneur, it's way better than working for somebody else. When people say, are you going to work? It's I'm not going to freaking work. Is this work?
No. It's a lifestyle, man.
Exactly.
What do people out there like, do you have a job? I'm like, no, I don't. They're looking at me.
No,
like,
and this is, you got to work today on a Saturday or Sunday. Oh, too damn bad. I'm working.
Three in the morning, right? You have a collective thought, you get up and start writing shit.
Yeah, start writing. If I have an idea and I want to go try to get another syndication deal, or I want to pitch the Road Warriors movie, or I want to do this, there's no time clock. No time clock. And that's the difference between entrepreneurs that want to live it the rest of them, believe it the less of their lives, versus others. Because bottom line is they always have an idea, they're always being eaten by that, and they always want to create and fix a problem. Yep. And you say, why didn't it happen before? But all right, Richard, where's the place people can buy info on you? And
everywhere, LinkedIn, you know, every platform. Just type in Staffy Shark or Richard Rosner. You'll find me there. You know, you'll see with cartoons, energetic stuff. And I'm always here to help businesses grow, clients, and it's definitely social branding if you need that. And I also have a podcast too. So Staffy Shark on YouTube and all the other platforms. It's always live. You never know what's going to happen, just like this show, man.
All right. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right. You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.